לחיים זוי
Chavra, we're gonna do one more niggin, one more heart sing niggin in Eretz Hashem, to be able to tap in Eretz Hashem to the incredible kiddush of Erev Shabbos Hagadol, and then Eretz Hashem will learn the Hilah Gittur of the Rebbe. All right, we'll say a good night of Shabbos, a good night of Shabbos. God, was such a schos, Baruch Hashem, to be able to come together, to learn together, to bring together a little bit. Steve, you want to start with the sponsorships? Steve will give us the sponsorships. Amir Tz Hashem.
All right, tonight's sponsors are me.
Thank you.
Kabbal Hashem for the arrival of my daughter, son-in-law, and grandson from Eretz Yisrael this past Sunday.
Oh, beautiful.
They were their first flight out on Sunday morning after everything went down with the Shabbos. So Kabbal Hashem, they made it safely and without issue.
Baruch Hashem.
Mazel Tov to my son-in-law's brother, Izzy Bogard, who's sitting over there in honor of his engagement, about Sheva Tropper from Dallas.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Memory of Ted Bogart, Tuvi Ben Eliyahu Alevi, Father Flor Bogart, Mina Clinton, and in memory of Mutl Ben Chaim Leva Cohen, Father Richard Buck,
Amen.
Ruben and Sandy Reznikov, Hospital Rifor Shlema, Ruben's sister, Leah Bas Epcaparo, who just had surgery this week. Richard Newman, in honor of the art sale of his mother-in-law, Tammy Schwartz, Tamarachal Bas Shmuel Zosia. Yehuda Buchwalter, hashtag bring them home. Thank you, Yehuda. And Adam Edelman, in honor of his daughter's wedding and for a drama-free Pesach.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
You can speak privately to the Rob after here.
You can schedule an appointment,
And Leo Shishi Chabura.
Leo Shishi Chabura. Double List House. And the Kavra, we started up a while ago, although I never really got, really never took off a young guy anymore. Young guys, Chabura, Samir Tashan, they're here joining us tonight, but Amir Tz, we're going to get started again after Pesach.
Oh, welcome.
I was saying, and a tremendous, tremendous shkoyach to Reb Tzvi Friedman for really just the... I just want to tell you, like, you should know. So there are people who aren't here every week, people who are here every week. Reb Tzvi, every single week, Mamish takes up his own time, takes up his own resources to prepare just a beautiful spread. This could just as easily be a bowl of potato chips, potato chips and popcorn,
John's Yashon Kovach.
Right, we could be having leftovers from previous shul events. Right, but Lamaisa, but really, Chavi, you should just know Reb Tzvi is here every single week, just making sure that the Gashmias is really just as beautiful, but special, like the Ruchnias, and Reb Steve as well. Reb Steve is our Sarah Mashkim, and again, every week, making sure that there's variety, that there's enough. So, Chavi, you should just know, sometimes, like, we show up, and we learn, and we eat, and we kind of think that things just come together. Nothing ever just comes together in life. Whenever you see something meaningful, something beautiful, there is always an army of people. In this case, the army of people is two people. Right? It's Reb Tzvi and Reb Steve, who mamish go ahead and week in and week out, just ensure that the shir is something so beautiful, so meaningful, so uplifting. And of course, a tremendous yasher koach to our Kohen Gadol, to Reb Eli, who Baruch Hashem, every single time. You know that when Eli takes out his guitar, you literally know that we are one step closer to Mashiach. Every single chord he plays, Mamish brings the Gula a little bit closer to us, and brings us just a little bit closer to the Gula. So we'll say, I reflect a lot on these things, and I think, like, Ashrenu Matov Chalkenu, that literally, what a beautiful Chavra we have, and what a beautiful Chabura we have, and we are like a shtekel chalant of Klal Yisrael over here, like a little bit of a cross-section of Klal Yisrael, but it's something so beautiful, so meaningful, so uplifting, and it's just... It's just a schus. Baruch Hashem, a schus each and every week to bring in Erev Shabbos with all of you and with our Rebbe, with the Piyajetzna, and Abosei. With that, let us begin. So tonight, I want to do two pieces by the end. A special welcome to Rabbi Lampert, who's joining us here from Muncie. Rabbi Ari Shver, Baruch Hashem, who's such a... The greatest thing that happened when Ari married Gitti is that we got the Lamperts in Baltimore. That was mamish, like the greatest. So we're looking forward to spending a beautiful Yom Tov together, Meretz Hashem, and Baruch Haba. And Baruch Haba again to all of the guests, all the chevra that's back from Eretz Yisrael. So great, Baruch Hashem, to see future buddy Tamidei Chachamim, who Baruch Hashem are oskim b'Torah, and mamish again are toiling in Torah each and every day. And Baruch Hashem, beautiful to see them back here with their families. Halavai v'sho abizoch Amir Hashem, that they should no longer come home for Ben Azmanim, but Amir Hashem, v'sho abizoch, that they not just spend our Ben Azmanim, but Amir Hashem, spend the zman in themselves. Yishalayim habenuim hirab yamein amen. And we'll say with that, let us begin. So we have a great zechus baruch Hashem tonight to be able. I want to do two pieces with you. We'll have enough time for Mirat Hashem. And Tzvi, here's the only problem. We were just discussing this. There isn't indirect. I don't know what the right terminology is. The better the food, the more shvach the singing. So I think chavra, right? Inverse correlation. Thank you. Inverse correlation. So I don't know. We're gonna have to figure. What do we do? You dial it back. Yeah, dial it. Chavra, next week is sheet cake. By the way, just letting you know. Sheet cake. Oh, yeah, the singing. It's Pesach. Is it? It's going to be Pesach sheet cake. Pesach sheet cake next week. That's right. You're going to be singing. You're in the Shema app next week. That's just going to... All right, we have to figure out how to literally ochal al shtei shulchanos. First of all, no one has to stand. No, they're not chairs in the back. If they're not chairs, just grab chairs from the base manager. Just grab that from the shul. Just grab chairs. All right, so we'll say everyone has a sheet, or again, if not, we can share a little bit. We're gonna do two pieces tonight from the Piagetzna. So we'll say one piece that I wanted to share with you from the Rebbe is just about how the Rebbe felt during the Seder. And I will say, so much of the beauty of Chassidus in general is that Chassidus doesn't just focus on what you do, which is, of course, of sublime importance, but Chassidus also focuses on how you feel. What is the emotional experience of this? So I will say, if you take a look on the page that starts with Halach Ma'anya, this page like this, Halach Ma'anya. So if you take a look at that, so I want to start with this. So the Rebbe says like this, Halayla Hazeh, if you look at the part on the bottom. So the Rebbe says, Bimea Pesach. So this is truly beautiful. He says, "Bimea Pesach Yodehu Kvar Bikirbo Ki Yisraelu." And I will say, as the Yom Tov of Pesach comes, a person feels their Yiddishkeit in a more acute fashion. And I will say, like, a person feels that they're a Yid all of the time, but there are certain times of the year where my Yiddishkeit is like burning inside of me. As Pesach approaches, we begin to feel internally the fact that I'm a Yid. Lo dai lo halel echad shamar ubishira achos lo shakta nafsha asa'aras. And I will say, comes Pesach, comes the Seder, comes the... Remember, describing over here how a Yid feels on the night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, my neshama is so on fire that again, saying one shira, one az yashir, one halel is not enough. Hayomim yimei kedem hein, hagan eden yorod lo li olam hazeh, v'hu yoshev bo. Says the Piagetzna. What happens? What's going to happen on Monday night? What's going to happen when Pesach comes? The Rebbe says, literally, Gan Eden comes down to this world. That's the Rebbe's on Pesach. Gan Eden comes down to this world. And I will say, each of us have the opportunity, literally, to dwell within Gan Eden. V'kulo nepach li'ish acher. And on Pesach, you have the ability to go ahead and literally transform yourself into someone else. So I will say, so now, I just want to tell you something. So listen to that. It's just, even if you just would have come for this, and the brisket, right? It would have been enough. Dayenu. I will say, here, what the Piagetzna is describing over here, I will say, is the emotional experience, spiritual experience of Pesach. What happens, I will say, at the Leila Seder? Leila Seder, Gan Eden comes down to this world. Gan Eden comes down to this world, and literally again, I sit in Gan Eden. When you sit at your table at the Seder, you are sitting in Gan Eden. And it's even before that, the moment of Hurachum, the moment of Baruchu, when we usher in the Kiddusha of this day, I'm sitting in Gan Eden. Abbas, and if you're thinking to yourself, Rebbe, what's the mucker? What's the source for that? Then there are two problems. Number one, it's clear you don't come to the shir every week if you're asking a question like that. And number two, you're not a chassid. You're not a chassid. The beauty of the Piagetzna is he doesn't need to give a marim makom in order for something to be true. The Piagetzna is telling you what's happening in the neshama. And for the neshama, there aren't marim makomos. For the neshama, it's just MS. Piagetzna says Pesach comes literally. Gan Eden comes down to this world and I dwell in it. And I have the ability to transform myself into someone dramatically different. Al kopanim, le'ikve ish Yisrael amiti higia. So look what the Rebbe says. Lo zeh ha-moach ve'lo zeh ha-lev shekol ha-shana. The heart and the mind that you have on Pesach, it's not the same heart and mind that you have throughout the year. Lo Pesach kvar bo, the night of Pesach comes, v'nase lahar boer. And I'm a mountain. I'm a mountain on fire. Ha'ish misparitz v'efsher lo l'hispap apikad ha-seder. Listen, this is so beautiful. The Piyajetna says the fire starts burning as soon as the Chazan says, Bu'rachum, ushering in the sanctity of the Yomtiv. There's a fire that's burning in me, and it's uncontrollable. It's uncontrollable. It doesn't even wait until the Seder. U'muchrach tekef lomar, u'muchrach tekef v'mayrev lomar halal. It was, there's a beautiful minhag that some have to recite halal after Ma'ariv. After Ma'ariv. So if a chaver here in Shul that does it, after Ma'ariv. So I will say, you know, you ever wonder to yourself, you look at that chaver and you're like, what's going through your mind? When you look at the chaver saying Ma'ariv, what are you thinking? All right, no one wants to say it. So I'll say, like, come on, guys. Like, keep it together. You're going to say halal in just a little bit. Like, get home, start the Seder. So I'll say, you remember, like, think about a time in life when you fell in love with something. Now, this may manifest itself differently for different people. For some people, it might have been the moment that you fell in love with your wife. For other people, it might be if you're privileged to have children, the first time that you went ahead and you held your child in your arms. And for others, it might be like the first time you started learning and you just got such an incredible geschmack in your learning. Whatever it might be. So I will say, in those moments, a person doesn't say, you know what, I feel something. I'm going to wait to tell my wife I love her till later. Or I'm going to wait to say to the Baal Shem, I love you until later on. Or I'm going to wait to kiss my Gemara because I'm so in love with the daf that I'm learning. When love burns in your heart, you can't hold it in. The Piyajetna says, the reason why many have the minog to go ahead and say halal after Ma'ariv is because who can wait for halal until the end of the Seder? I can't wait. I need to say halal now. I need to give thanks. Thank you so much. I need to give thanks and hodah. Thank you. It's a chavar. I need to give thanks. I need to give thanks to the Ribono Shel Olam right now. I can't wait. I need to connect. I need to sing. I need to feel my neshama on fire. He goes on. He says, "Umuchrach tekef b'mayriv lomar halal." I have to say halal right now. The kama chazaku aguf sheomer al omdo b'shar shalei v'neshama kol kach meraktim u'mifazizim. The Yajetna says, the body, the neshama, the soul, just wants to start dancing all over the place. But the body has to keep the soul in check, right? The body has to be like the guardian. The body has to be the strong one. Homim v'ro Hashem b'shir l'Hashem. U'kishem esayim esahalo v'omer nocha Hashem. Ki l'cha tov l'hodos l'shimcha na'a l'zamer. Kimat namas libo b'kirbo. And when I get to the end of Halal and Shul, and I say again, Ki l'cha tov l'hodos, for you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is good to give thanksgiving. U'lishimcha na'a l'zamer. And to your name it is good to sing. Literally, again, my heart is ready to melt inside of me. Ribono shel olam, zeh be'emes hatov amiti. I will say, do you want to know what the ultimate good is in this world? The ultimate good is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hatov shebechol ha'olam asa al-yonim v'atachtonim, lehodos lecha u'lezamer l'shmecha. The best thing one could ever do in this world is to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to daven ribono shel. So I will say, so I just want to point out, I will say, you know, what the Piyajetna is describing, one of the most beautiful things about our Rebbe, about the Piyajetna, is that the Rebbe gives us a window into his neshama, right? He did it with B'nai Machshava Tova. He's doing it. He did it with Aksharas Avreichim. We see it in Eish Kodesh in a totally different way. The Rebbe was not scared to allow people a window into his soul. So I just want to point out what the Piyajetna is describing over here. This is how he feels, how he felt on the night of Pesach. So I will say, you look at this and you think to yourself, what does a person think to themselves? This is not me, right? My Rev is over and I have one thing on my mind, which is get home, get that Seder started, right? That is what is on my mind. Get that Seder started, because what's going through my mind, it is a long night, and like, I don't want to go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, so like, let's move things along. And that's okay, because that's where we're holding. I will say, sometimes in life, it's good just to see what could be, even if it's not me. It's incredible just to get a window into a tzaddik's neshama. That what does a tzaddik feel like on the night of Pesach? And what the tzaddik feels like on the night of Pesach is, my soul's on fire. Ribono Shel Olam, I can't wait to say halal. I can't wait to connect with you. I can't wait to hold you. I can't wait to feel held by you. I can't wait to daven to you. I can't wait to sing to you. I can't even wait until I get home to sit down at the Seder. I can't even wait for Kiddush. I can't even wait to start the Seder. I have to say hello right now. I have to say hello now. Left-hand paragraph. Then what happens? I will say, this is all how the Rebbe is feeling before the Seder. Then what happens? Left-hand paragraph. V'yoshev ala Seder. Then what happens? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. V'yoshev ala Seder. Nekadesh v'omer ha'agav v'orech ha'shulchan. So then what happens? Then you sit down at the Seder. You make Kiddush. You say the Haggadah. Hasuda asher me'ein su'udas olam hava. Here's what's incredible, right? If you notice, the Piyajetzna, he doesn't say anything about the Seder, right? He says, you sit down, right? You make Kiddush, and he's already at the meal. Right? You'll see why in just a moment. He says, v'orech ha'shulchan, the meal of the Seder is me'ein su'udas olam hava. Is like literally again. I will say that is a meal from the Lord. I will say just like a word about this also. It's very important. I will say very important that at the Seder, whether again it's your wife who's making the Seder, your mother who's making the Seder, someone else making the Seder, and I will say sometimes, and again this might sound a little bit strange, but it is important to time your Seder. And the reason I say that is because sometimes the Seder goes on for a very long time, which is beautiful and wonderful. What's the problem? Then you get to the meal. You're bumping up on chatzos. You have to eat afikomen. And you know what happens? It happens sometimes. You like rush through the meal. I will say it's very important to remember that someone spent a lot of time on that meal. And someone spent a lot of time cooking. And someone spent a lot of time preparing. And often again, there's thought about what goes into the menu and the appetizer and the soup and the main course and the dessert. And I will say, sometimes the greatest zuchos that you could have on the Leil HaSeder is to make sure that you are a mitsuyon in your bin adam l'chavero. Better to do a little less magid and be able to spend a bit more time on the su'uda that perhaps your wife, your mother, your mother-in-law, whoever it is, or yourself, whoever made it, it's 2024, whoever made the meal, right? Whoever made the meal, right? Whoever made the meal. Whoever it is, I'll say, but especially, if it is the woman of the house, how important it is not to blow through that, and not to rush through that, knowing that someone made. I think that's what the Rebbe is sensitizing us to. The Rebbe goes from Kiddush to the meal. There's like a couple of things in between over there. I will say, you know, the Rebbe teaches us so much by what he says and what he doesn't say. And I will say, so much of Yiddishkeit is found in the nuances. I will tell you, I've had experiences like this where Maggid has been beautiful, wonderful. We get to the meal and we have to rush the meal. And I will say, the truth is, you know what? When you look back at it afterwards, how hurtful that could be for someone who spent time working and preparing. So I will say, you know, Yiddish, do you know what Yiddishkeit values more than anything? Is your bin Adam Mechavero. I will say, just think about it. For those who are parents, you know, When you're young and you have a kid, so you think to yourself, oh, you have all these wonderful aspirations for your kid, right? Depending on what your netiyah is, my kid is going to be the best neurosurgeon, my kid is going to be a Rosh Yeshiva, my kid is going to be whatever this, I care. So, I will say, as you get older, so what's the one thing you want for your children more than anything? Just love each other. Just love each other. I want it to be that when the mishpacha gets together, you know, say, you know, sometimes, you know, those extended family gatherings where, again, having made chasanas, what's the most complicated part of chasanas? It's not seating your friends. It's seating your family, right? Who could sit with this one? Who can't sit with this one? Where does this one go? Where does that one go? And it's a whole art form. And at the end of the day, you just say, you know what? Forget it. You guys figure it out. I don't care. Right? Whatever. Right? Duke it out. Just do it in the hallway, right? So Lamai, you know, I would say, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than anything is just for his children to love each other. So how careful we have to be even at the Suda. So I'll say, just not to be just, but just as an aside, you have older people at your Seder, however you define older people at your Seder. So I will say, you know, you might be ready. You're pumped, right? You're pumped. You had your four Red Bulls and, you know, whatever on Erev Pesach and a nap, and you're ready to go until 4 o'clock in the morning. If there's someone older, move it along. There's plenty of time. I will say, remember again, once you bench, does not mean that the Seder has to be over. You could shiramid until dawn, right? You could say Divrei Torah. You could do whatever you want. Be mindful of the people who are around your table. And if someone can't stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning, that's okay. Move things along. Finish up the Seder, the Dalet Kozos. And it's not, don't say, oh, don't worry. You could leave whenever you want. No. A mensch wants to finish the Seder. A mensch wants to drink the Dalet Kozos. Move things along, because so much more important to the Ribono Shel Olam that you should make everyone feel comfortable than getting in all the Divrei Torah. So I don't think it's by accident that the Piagetzna, who was just on fire, right? Piagetzna couldn't wait to say Hallel at home, right? He's saying Hallel already at Shul. And the same Piagetzna gets home, he seeks the Kiddush, Seder, and he's already at the Suda. Why? I will say everything in Yiddishkeit has to be conducted with interpersonal sensitivity. Always an awareness, an acute awareness for the needs of the other. He goes on. He says, He says, literally again, the Rebbe says, over the course of the Seder, I literally almost become detached from my own body. So literally the Piagetzna says, and it's interesting, because the Seder, if you think about it, is such a physical experience. It really is. So much of it is eating, is ingesting, is reclining, is drinking. And yet there's the ability during the Leila Seder to transcend physicality. He goes on, he says, Hilizbo says, incredible. He says, Af ha-shulchan, ha-niros, va-aksolim, kulam yachad nase chativa achos, v'kulanu korim, bochim, smichim, u-mahalilim, lo-hodo tifarto yisbarach. I say, this is wild. And the truth is, these are not words that you could understand with your mind. These are only words you can understand with your heart. The Rabbi says, you become one with your table. Become one with your chairs. Become one, right, with the furniture. And everything becomes one entity in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the Rabbi is describing over here, Rabosai, is just a profound sense of transcendence. I'm no longer me. But my neshama combines with everything that is in this room to become one cohesive entity in the service of the Ribono Shel Olam. Me'in olam haba na'ase bohen. Ya'aloz shakai b'chol asher bo. Az yiranu lo kol atzeyar. Kulam neshamos tahoros. Ve'kulam yachad ovdim u'meshabchim lahod kidushas asher neskal aleinayim. And we'll say in the Leil HaSeder, the Rebbe says, it's not just human beings who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The entire world, even inanimate objects, are so moved by the Kiddusha of the day that the entirety of the universe, animate and inanimate objects, living and not living, people and furniture, everything becomes one entity in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kama Godol HaIsha Yisraeli, and how great is the Jew, Shemamshich HaLayla Hazeh Mikol HaShana, the Tamid Shakua Hu Bitora, Kiddusha Vitzichtzuch Ale Elyon Kazeh. And I will say, the power of the night of the Seder is that Kiddusha is so intense. The Kiddusha of the Seder is so intense that what? That you could take that Kiddusha with you the entire year. The entire year. And I will say, so here the Rebbe is describing to us what we can feel on the Leil HaSeder. What we can, so you might think to yourself, okay, I could read the words, I could translate the words. I have never in my life felt this before. That might be true. I think most of us have never felt what the Piagetzna is describing. But I will say, what the Rebbe is describing is what you can feel. If you want this, if you want your Leil HaSeder to be something different, if you want your neshama to be on fire, if you want to be inspired, you know, I will say, so often in life, right, we're always living on the clock. Everything is always on the clock, right? How long is this? How long is that? I have to be here, I have to run there. The beauty of the Leil HaSeder, the beauty of Shabbos and Yom Tov in general, but specifically the Leil HaSeder, is that it is lemala min hazman. It is above time. And even though we are governed by certain strictures of time, experientially it's lemala min hazman. What the Piagetzna is describing over here, Abosai, is a literal complete transcendence. An ability to go ahead and transcend your physicality, an ability to go ahead and literally become something greater, an ability to tap into your deepest reservoirs of Kiddusha. So you'll ask yourself, so how do I do this? How do I do this? And I will say, the Rebbe would say, it's very simple. You have to open your heart to it. If a person before Vahurachum, on Monday night, on Pesach night, says, Ribono Shel Olam, I am ready to lose myself in you. I'm ready to lose myself, then you'll have siyata d'shmaya. I'll be able to experience what the Piagetzen is describing. I will say, can you imagine a Leil HaSeder that is like this? Can you imagine a Pesach night that is like this? And the Piagetzen says, if you could tap into this dynamic, then this Kedusha could carry you throughout the entire year. And I will say, there's a beautiful min of the Baba Rebbe. So this was the Rebbe who survived the war. Rebbe Zion Halberstam, who survived the war. The Rebbe lost everything in the war and rebuilt. People don't realize this, but the Baba Rebbe, people like the Baba Rebbe, the Satmar Rav, Rav Aaron Kotler, these were the people who built up Yiddishkeit in America after the Baba Rebbe lost everything. He lost literally everything. Like Hasidus in America, really, and in the entire world, owes a debt of gratitude. So the Baba Rebbe had a very interesting minhag. The Baba Rebbe would save a piece of the matzah from the Leil HaSeder, and he would eat it for the Suda HaMafsekes before Tisha B'Av. That's what he would do. Now I would say, now where did this come from? So I will say again. So he derived it. He derived this practice from the kina, one of the last kinas that we say on Tisha B'Av morning, Betseisi Mimitzrayim, Betseisi Mirushalayim. Right? There's that kina that equates ultimately, again, when we left Egypt, which was such incredible joy, and then when we left Yerushalayim, which was such incredible heartbreak. So the Rebbe kept the matzah. He kept the matzah of the Leil HaSeder, and he ate it by the Suda HaMafsekes. Now what the Rebbe was trying to show is, as Rabbi Nachman says, Ein shum yeyosh ba'olam klal. Rabbi Osai, there is no such thing as a Yid giving up hope. No such thing as Yid giving up hope. So I will say, if you think about it, there is no more hopeless moment during the entire year than the Suda HaMafsekes on Tisha B'Av. I will say, right? Suda HaMafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av, I think, is even more depressing than Tisha B'Av itself. Because, you know, how do you eat Suda HaMafsekes? You sit on the floor. There's no mezumen, right? Because remember, you already had your regular meal. So you're sitting, what are you eating? You're eating some bread, you're eating an egg, right? And you're sitting on the floor, no mezumen, nothing. It is like the pinnacle of hopelessness. And the Baba Rebbe, Zechusa Yagin, Zechar Tzadeh B'Kavash Levracha, would dafka eat some of the matzah from the Leil HaSeder at that Suda. And the Piagets are saying the same thing. The Rebbe said, do you know what the power of Leil HaSeder is? The power of Leil HaSeder is that there is so much Kedusha that literally, again, it could fuel the spiritual tank for the entire year. That's how powerful it is. You could fill up on Kedusha enough on the Leil HaSeder to literally sustain you throughout the entire year. But you have to be tapped into the dynamic. If I'm not tapped in, I can't fill up the tank. And if I don't fill up the tank, it could be very nice, it could be very pretty, very beautiful, a wonderful family bonding experience, even a little bit spiritually inspirational, but not what it could be. And I will say, all I need to do is to go and walk into Pesach and say, Ribono Shalom, I want the Pesach of the Piaget. That's what I want. And I will say, I know it might sound like a little bit corny, right? And it might sound, for the intellectually astute, it might sound, come on, that's ridiculous. Chevra, your intellect will not get you very far in this world. But your heart will take you to places that you could never even imagine. You could learn all of the Torah you want on Pesach, and all the Torah, right? You could be, I remember when my kids were little, I'm sure other people, you know when your kids are little and they come to the Seder and they have that humongous binder of Divrei Torah, and of course you're like, that's so nice, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, like what are? And of course there are always the good parental eyes. Oh, Shefa, that's so beautiful. You know what? Let's save some for the entire Yontif, right? Don't do it all tonight, right? Let's save some for the next day, and the next day after that. You know, it's like, it's not the Divrei Torah that are going to get you where you need to be. Divrei Torah are beautiful, of course, and they have their place. It's the hearts. It's coming into the night of Pesach and coming to Shul. And before we start for Hurach, I'm saying, Ribono Shalom, I'm yours. And all I want is for my heart to be filled with Kedusha. All I want is to lose myself in the enormity of this day. All I want is to feel one with you. All I want is that when I go home, I want me and my tables and my chairs and my curtain and my house and my kids and my... I want all of us to just to become swept up in this tidal wave of Kiddusha. And I will say, if you open your heart to that, the Piyajasna says, you'll feel it. You'll feel it. Right? And I will say, you'll feel it to such a degree that what? That literally, again, that Kiddusha will carry you throughout the year. And I will say, I just want to say that I think that this approach is necessary more this year than any other year. I say, the times in which we are living in, and the events that we have seen with our own eyes over the almost last 7 months, they don't compute in the intellect. They don't compute in the intellect. And I will say, by the way, I just want to point out, that's both in the horrible and in the wonderful. Right? You know, we kind of, human beings move at a very fast pace, but like, we need to reflect on the Nes Nigla, the overt miracle that our people experienced this past Monday Shabbos. With over 300 missiles, drones, ballistic missiles, all launched from Iran. 99% of them shot down. I said, that's not normal. And you saw the size of these things? So I saw a great meme today. They said, like, if yeshiva guys would have found this, they would have said, let's take it to the Dira. Right? That's what they, right? Let's take, right? You see the size of these things? I would say, just if one of them would have fallen on a building without exploding, just fall down on something. The amount of shirts, 99% of one side, a nice nigla, not just a kiss from the Ribbono Shel'Olam, a kiss, an embrace, over and three times 300. We have that. And I would say, then we still have hostages. Who would have thought that almost 7 months into this, men, women, children, still being held hostage in Gaza. Still being held hostage, complete families, still being held hostage in Gaza. I'll say, this is not a Yom Tov for the mind, because the mind can't compute and the mind can't process everything that's going on. This is a Yom Tov ultimately, again, for the heart. And I will say, no matter how cynical I may be, or how jaded I may be, you know, maybe on a typical Thursday night, you would say this and you would say, you know what? At least the brisket was good, right? Because this is not for me. I don't relate to this stuff. I will say, in Pesach Tavshin Peidal, Pesach of this year, this is what I need. Because my mind, to be honest, my mind stopped working on October 7th. And my mind, my intellect has been foggy since Simchas Torah. And I just can't make sense of anything. And I just can't figure out anything. And I just don't know what to do with anything. But the incredible part is, sometimes when the mind stops working, that's when the heart really moves forward. The neshama really moves forward on all cylinders. Pesach this year has to be this Pesach of the Rebbe. Pesach this year has to be a Pesach where I walk into shul early, or at least on time, on the first night of Pesach, on Monday night, and I say, Ribono Shel Olam, daven mincha, and then again, before Avohu Racham, I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready. I'm ready to become one with you. I'm ready to feel the Kiddush. I'm ready to feel your love. I'm ready to feel your redemptive power. I'm ready. And I'm just giving myself over to you in totality. And if we could do that, then we'll feel what the Piyajetzna felt. And if we're able to do that, I will say, then we're going to be able to experience a Pesach like we have never experienced before. I just want to share with you one more quick piece. Turn the page. Mara, because I will say, this is a transformative piece as well. Chabra, what we'll do is, maybe for Ma'ariv, I know it's Chabra, that we'll dive a Ma'ariv in here afterwards for whoever, or we'll tell the Chabra in there that they come in here. So we'll say, Mara, just take a very quick look. What page is that? What page is Mara? Okay, so we'll say Mar. So the Rebbe says as follows. So we'll say over here, the Rebbe says it like this. He says, Mar is esha anu ochlam ashumma. Right? Why is it that we eat Mar? So the Rebbe, so again, the Haggadah says, there, sorry, Mar is al shumma. So we know the Haggadah says, al shum shemaru hamitzrim es chaye avosim b'mitzrayim. Because the Egyptians made our lives so bitter in Egypt. Right? So that's the idea. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, look at the section of Mar. He says, V'hinei, k'sheyisoh chas v'chalila b'tzara, u'befrat b'tzara k'zu, sh'ram shelo ha'im ba'atzah. So I just want to point out, this is Ish Kodesh, Parshas Bahar, the year Tafshin. So I will say, this is 1940, spring of 1940 in the Warsaw Ghetto. So this is the Rebbe's talking about. So this is Pesach, 1940 in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he says, when Klal Yisrael are in the midst of suffering and difficulty, especially when we see that we're in the kind of suffering that we cannot extricate ourselves from, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could extricate us. Raku Yisparach Pasu Yochal Oshim, Kavar Heim Nosnim Es Atzom Balev Sholim B'Teshuk Elav Yisparach, Avat Tzrichim Lekpoa B'Zichroneinu U'Bikerbeinu Es Matzveinu. So what's the limit of this outside because of time? The Piagetna says like this. So we'll say, the Rebbe asked such an interesting question, right? He says, Marur zesh aruach ha'ashoma. Why do we eat marur? Why do we eat marur? To remember the bitterness of servitude. The Rebbe says, here's the problem. The Jews who left Egypt also ate marur. Also ate marur. So I don't understand. Why did the Jews who left Egypt have to eat marur? In other words, like, marur is to remind us of the bitterness. You only have to be reminded if what? If what? If what? If you didn't experience it yourself. Right? I will say, it's like, can you imagine, like, a survivor of the Holocaust doesn't need Tisha B'Av. Doesn't need Tisha B'Av. In other words, I don't need a day to remind me of the tzaras of Klal. I lived it. I don't need a Yom HaShoah. I don't need that. It's in my consciousness. It's seared into my mind. So the Piagetna says, but the Pasuk by Mitzrayim says, Amatzos umurorim yochlu. They ate marur, even in Mitzrayim. So again, I understand why I eat marur to remember the bitterness that was, but why did the Yidden in Mitzrayim have to eat marur themselves? And he says something amazing. He says, take a look. He says, look at the left-hand paragraph. He says, midway down, V'zeh remez, she'od b'Mitzrayim kodim she'otzu misham, nistavinu le'achom marur, hagam she'mar zeh she'no ochlim ho'ashim, she'miru ha'misro yinschayav ha'zer Mitzrayim, v'az kodim she'otzu Mitzrayim lo hutzuchu la'haskir es'atzvam. They didn't need to remind themselves about the servitude because they lived it. Aval nistavu api pshuto le'cho el kirba ha'miros she'zeh, k'de she'yizkiru tamid gam la'achar she'yigalu es ha'miriros, the Kabbalah's Omach Hashem Shekiblu Azal Asa. We'll say, listen to this. The Rebbe says, what do we do in times of Tsaras? What do we do in times of Tsaras? What do we do? What do we do? We make Kabbalahs. We accept things upon ourselves. We'll say, which is beautiful, which is incredible. What's the challenge in life? What's the challenge? The challenge is, as time goes on, what happens to our Kabbalahs? We forget about them. Why? Because the pain recedes a little bit, the pain diminishes a little bit, and life goes back to normal. The Rebbe says something amazing. The Jews in Mitzrayim also made Kabbalahs. When they felt the whips of the Egyptians against their back, they also made Kabbalahs. And what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu concerned about? The Moshe was concerned that when the Jews were redeemed from Egypt, and now servitude was over, they would forget about their Kabbalahs. They would forget about the promises they made, the promises of self-improvement, the promises of commitment to the Klal. They would forget about that. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them eat maror in Mitzrayim as well. Not that they have to remember the servitude, because they obviously would remember the servitude, but that what? They should remember the Kabbalahs. They should remember the promises they made during those times of acute suffering. I will say, you know what the incredible thing is? I think for many of us, sometimes the times when we feel closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu are the times that we have difficulties. And the more acute the difficulty, the closer the relationship. Why? So I mentioned this in this Chabura a while ago. So I remember, I could distinctly remember a time in my life when I felt closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a time of incredible personal difficulty. I remember it like yesterday. I remember that I walked around with a Sefer Tehillim at every single moment. I remember it like yesterday. It was just a couple of years. I remember it. I walked around with a Sefer Tehillim every single moment. And whenever I had a moment, I remember how powerless I was. I felt. And I remember that I skied myself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no idea what's going to happen. All I know is that whatever Yeshua is going to come from you, it's going to come from you. I will say, and I'll tell you something interesting. Baruch Hashem, that tzara was resolved, and it was resolved in a good way. But I remember something amazing. which is, and it's going to sound strange, very strange, I miss the feeling. I don't miss the tzara, but I miss the feeling. Because I have not been able to recreate that in my life. I should be able to. It's a chisaron to me. It's pathetic. It's pathetic that I can't feel as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of good as I feel as an acute difficulty. But I'll tell you, Eschatani Maskir, I don't miss the tzara, but I absolutely miss the feeling. Because when you're in that moment and you realize how much you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will say that's, again, when you're firing on all cylinders. And I make my Kabbalahs and I make my promises. And I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay. This is it. The new me is coming out. The problem is then when life settles back to what it was and things go back to being okay, I forget about all those Kabbalahs. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Yidden in Mitzrayim eat marer. Not that they should remember the servitude, because the servitude they couldn't forget, but to remember the Kabbalahs that they made during the servitude. Hosei, you know, you think about everything that's transpired in our lives over the last number of years. See, remember when COVID started, right? You remember, you know, was it all of the Kabbalahs that we made when COVID? I thought like the world was coming to an end, right? And the Kabbalahs, right? And I was spending all this family time, going to be better in my marriage, better with my kids. COVID, Ethan Torah, my home became my base medrash. Oh, I missed davening in shul. How careful I'm going to be with tefillah, but tzibur and all this kind of stuff. And then what happens? Right? A vaccine happens, and suddenly again. COVID, now we make fun of COVID, right? Now, you know, forget it. Now again, if somebody talks about COVID, you laugh it off. I forgot my Kabbalahs. And I will say, you remember again when October 7th came around? I remember again how, again, we felt the sky was falling. And do you remember again how many personal Kabbalahs we made in those times? And then what happened, I will say, 6.5 months later, so many of those Kabbalahs have fallen by the wayside. The Piagetzna says that when we eat maror, maror is not simply to remind us of the bitterness of the past, but maror is to remind us that very often during those bitterness, during that period, those periods of bitterness, we accepted so many things on ourselves, and we have forgotten about our Kabbalahs. The Leil HaSeder represents an opportunity to be re-mekabel all of the Kabbalahs. And I will say, if you bring this all together. I will say, I want to tell you something amazing. I think that, and maybe this sounds like a little bit, take a little bit of time on the Leil HaSeder, close the Haggadah, and close your eyes. Because so often what happens during the Seder is, we're so focused on this, which is incredible, which is beautiful, which is Kedusha, which is incredible, that we forget to tap into the experience. Do we understand what's happening over here? Do we understand what's going to happen on Monday night? And I will say, by the way, we're learning about it now, because if you want to experience what the Piagetzna is describing Monday night, you got to start now. Which is, I had to start like 3 months ago. But okay, it's good enough. We're going to start now. We got Shabbos HaGadol. I want this. This is what I want. I don't want Pesach to be about Rashi light, indigestion, and cranky guests. Right? That's Rashi light. First of all, is inexcusable. I know. There is no excuse for it. It's a bracha levatala. It's just straight out bracha levatala. It's a bracha levatala. Real wine for real Jews. That's the way it works. It's derech eros. I know chicken wings. So again, I want this at the Leil HaSeder. So I will say, how do we get this? So what's our avoda? So I will say, number one, our avoda is a simple, before Ma'ariv, a simple Kabbalah. Ribono Shel Olam, I will say, and save the sheet. The sheet is yours. And if you didn't have a copy, I'll post it on the chat. Save the sheet. And before Ma'ariv, take it out and read what the Piagetzna's Leil HaSeder was like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want that. And I'm ready to open my heart, and I'm ready to open my neshama, and of course, I'm ready to let them take the driver's seat and put the intellect in the passenger seat. But I'm ready to experience a night of total hispatlos, of total negation to you. I'm giving myself over to you. And everything in my life, my furniture, my house, my family, we're all going to become one unit of service to you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to amass enough Kedusha in this night that everything follows me along. That's part one. Part two, Rabosai, is before Lel HaSeder, inventory. Rabosai, what are the kabbalos that I have made over the course of the last year? Don't even start with years, because that's too far back. Year. What are the kabbalos that I have made, or even less than a year? What are the kabbalos that I have made since last Rosh Hashanah? Since this past Rosh Hashanah? Rabosai, again, we've made them. We've made them. Tefillah betzibur, kviyas itim, shalom bayis, tzedakah, whatever it is. And I will say, what are the areas where I have not come through? You don't have to tell this. It's not confession. You don't have to tell it to anyone else. It's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But take the inventory of the Kabbalas that you made and identify the ones in which I have been less than proficient. And then as I pick up my maror, I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, before I eat this maror, Hineni Mekabel Al Atzmi, to once again take upon myself all of my Kabbalas. But unlike the last time, when they fell by the wayside, Hineni Mekabel Al Atzmi, to keep them. I will say, write them down on a card and put them in your Haggadah. I will say, you know them. We all know the Kabbalas that we've made and what we've lapsed in. Write it down. Because when you write them down, writing something down takes on a reality. Put it in your Haggadah. And before you go ahead and you eat Marah, Rabbi Hussein, have in mind, Ribon Shalom had the Jews in Mitzrayim eat Marah, not because they had to remember the bitterness, but because they also forgot the Kabbalas they made when times were difficult. I too sometimes forget the Kabbalas I made in times of good and times of difficulty. But on Lel HaSeder, I am recommitting myself to all of my Kabbalas. Rabbi Hussein, if we could just do these two things over the course of the Seder, of course, in addition to all the mitzvahs we have in Lel HaSeder, I'll say, just imagine how different our Seder will be. Imagine how different our lives will be. This is a year when we need this more than ever before. And we should be Zohar, we'll say, Mir Hashem. The last Seder is so powerful. You know, I say every year the same thing. That for me, the most exciting part of the Seder is when we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. And I tell my children every single year that before you open the door, you have to believe shalim, that Eliyahu HaNavi could be on the other side. You have to believe with all of your heart that he could be there. You have to believe. If a Yid doesn't believe, then what are we doing? And I believe with all of my heart that Eliyahu HaNavi could be on the other side of that door the moment that I open it up. So truth is, up until now in my life, every time I've opened the door, he hasn't yet been there. But why can't it be this year? Why can't it be this year? And if we could just push ourselves a little bit more, and if we could just retake on our Kabbalas again this year, and if we could have a Pesach that is dominated by the heart and by the neshama, not by the mind, maybe, when we open the door this year, how incredible would it be to see Eliyahu HaNavi smiling back at us? How incredible would it be to say, my gosh, I have been waiting for you for so long. I've been waiting for you, Eliyahu HaNavi, for thousands of years. But maybe if we have a Pesach like our Rebbe, a Pesach like the Piyajetzna, a Pesach of true Kiddusha, maybe we'll be Zochem Yeretz Hashem, that we won't have to just simply say, the Nochal Shem, min hazvachem u min hapsachem, min hazvachem. We won't have to say it simply as an anticipatory yearning. But halalai will be Zochem Yeretz Hashem. We'll say all of us together, to be in Yerushalayim, Habenuya. To be in a rebuilt Yerushalayim, to bask in the glow of the third Beis HaMikdash. I always say, can you imagine that Amir HaShem, it could happen, that if we have Shir next week on Chol HaMoed, it could happen that the Rebbe, the Piyajetzna, is going to give the Chabura. How incredible would that be, Rabbi Hussein? And it's not impossible. Anything and everything we want out of this world, out of this life, is absolutely within grasp. Imagine the Rebbe giving us Shir. Ellie's still going to be playing. It doesn't make a difference. Whoever it is. And Svi is still going to be cooking, right? It doesn't make a difference. And I'll say, but just imagine. And next to the Piyajetzna is going to be our Levi Yitzchak HaBerdichev Zechusa Yagin Aleinu. And next to him is going to be the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Next to Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh is going to be the Vilna Gaon, because it's going to be complete Shalom Mashiach comes. And there'll be Tchias HaMesim. And all those precious neshamas that have been taken from us over the last couple of months, over the last number of years, will Mir Hashem be reunited with their mishpachas. And I will say, all it requires is for us to push ourselves just a little bit more. Maybe Zilcha Mir Hashem to a Pesach like the Rebbe, like the Piyajetzna. V'yizochem Eretz Hashem to a Pesach of Geula Mehira B'Yameinu.
Amen.
Chavra, Meirev in the shul.